Hi, thanks for joining us this morning. I'm Chrissy Mernon, and I have a couple of guests who are talking about Tobacco 21. Dr. Keely Petty from the Bethel Prevention Coalition just got her doctorate in counseling, and Jerry Saavedra, he is with the American Heart Association. He's a senior community policy manager. And Tobacco 21, a city ordinance, a proposed city ordinance that the city council will be voting on soon. So I want to welcome you both, and we'll start with Jerry. Tell me about Tobacco 21, how the American Heart Association became involved with this, please.
Great. Thank you for having us. Tobacco continues to be the number one cause of preventable death in our country. You know, more people die every year from tobacco than did in World War II altogether, and more die from tobacco every year than AIDS, cocaine, heroin, alcohol, vehicle accidents, homicide, and suicide all combined. And so when you look at public health issues, tobacco definitely is at the very top. And so when we learned that the city council and Metro Health were looking to look at a policy called Tobacco 21, which is to raise the age to be able to sell tobacco products from 18 to 21, we're definitely big supporters and wanted to get involved and see how we can support that effort.
What are you doing?
This got started back in August. Metro Health did a survey to the community to talk about if there was support from the community. Their findings came out about 77.5% of San Antonio all agreed that that would be a good idea to raise the tobacco age from 18 to 21. And really what this does is there's 18 and 19-year-olds who are legally able to buy tobacco currently that are still seniors in high school. And what we find is that they're the ones that then go and give it to the, you know, 15, 16, 17-year-old freshmen and sophomores who aren't able to buy it themselves. And so that's their source of getting tobacco products, which then what we also know is that the younger that you are, your brain is still developing until the age of 25. And so the susceptibility of becoming addicted to the nicotine, those then become lifelong tobacco users and have to deal with the health consequences of that. And so by raising the age from 18 to 21, you're taking tobacco from out of that social circle of high school students and you're moving it up to, you know, 21-year-olds who are more in college, don't really hang out with teenagers anymore. And so we definitely find over 280 cities across the United States have already done this. And this is definitely something that improves the health of the community, and we're all about it. And so, back in August, they started working on this. We found out about it in September. And since then, we've formed a coalition along with a lot of our community partners with the American Cancer Society, American Lung Association, UT Health, Cicada here locally, Bethel Prevention Coalition with Dr. Keely Petty here. And it's just a whole bunch of different community organizations that have come together to say we support this and have been working to make sure we're showing the city council that this is something the community wants.
It sounds like an easy thing. Raise the age from 18 to 21. Who's against it?
At this point, at the different town hall, there was a town hall that was done back in October. And, you know, there's been a lot of effort to make sure that everyone in the community is aware that this is something that's being considered. I know that Metro Health sent out a letter to every single tobacco retailer in the city, letting them know that this town hall was going on. And at that, really the majority of folks who were not supportive were the Convenience Store Association. They had folks there that were concerned this is going to, you know, hurt their profits. They talked about being able to make a lot of profits from selling tobacco to folks. And I think one of the, you know, main concerns is that if the San Antonio passes it, then they're going to lose that business. And I think what we know is that the market share of overall tobacco sales from 18, 19, and 20-year-olds is such a small percentage, but it's such a high percentage as far as where the youth and people that are under 18 get their tobacco, that it really is not something that's going to damage businesses. You know, it's 2 to 4% of overall tobacco sales come from that small age range. And so this isn't something that's preventing people from buying tobacco. There's still every single person that's over 21 are still going to be going into convenience stores to purchase it. And what we also know is that, you know, a lot of folks that go to corner stores and convenience stores among the youth, you know, they go. I drive by Madison High School every day, and I see all of the high school students walking over to the convenience store. And so the notion that they're going to go all the way to Alamo Heights or Leon Valley or other communities to go and take their business elsewhere, I think is another overblown concern. I think a lot of folks, especially in that age range, they don't have cars. They're just walking to the closest place to get gas, to get other things that, It's more of a scare tactic. I think trying to argue with the city that this is something that's going to hurt business. I don't think any council member ever wants to do that. But I think, again, with Chicago and L.A., New York, a lot of other cities that have already done it, we see that that just simply doesn't happen.
The convenience stores have not shut down in those cities where the law was changed.
Right.
Exactly.
And Dr. Keeley Petty's here. So how did the Bethel Prevention Coalition get involved? And this is an important issue for you.
Exactly. Our funding comes from the Office of National Drug Control Policy, and we are managing the drug-free communities work in the 78218 zip code. And in 2016, drug-free communities put in $85.9 million in the Drug-Free Communities Act to focus on tobacco, marijuana, prescription drugs, and alcohol. And our work is to provide prevention and awareness programs. We know that tobacco is a gateway drug. I know that for sure personally because I started smoking cigarettes, got it from an older teenager here in San Antonio in high school at 14.
And so let me ask you, because before we started today, I asked, if you ever smoked, and I'll ask that to Jerry, too. So why did you start smoking at 14?
At 14. I grew up in a home where my parents smoked, and I was always tasked with go light my cigarette. As a child, we were able to go to the store and buy our parents' cigarettes. So for me, it was an issue of, I think it must be good because my parents do it. It must be good because I see older teenagers and they look so cool doing it. And then the first exhaling of that cigarette gave me a euphoric feeling. It just felt, I just felt light and good.
Because your oxygen was affected,
because it
I
was
believe.
A high. Yeah. Uh-huh. It was a nicotine high. Mm-hmm. So I kept smoking because I wanted to continue to have that feeling. And when that feeling no longer could come from cigarettes, I still had a habit. So then it escalated from tobacco to marijuana.
And you were already smoking.
And
so,
I was
so
already
smoking.
Mm-hmm. So it just became a habit that had to be fed, because after you have a drink, you got to have a cigarette. After you eat, you have to have a cigarette. Before you go to bed, you have to have a cigarette. When you wake up in the morning, you have to have a cigarette. So it just became a very ugly habit. Nobody around me discouraged me. It was almost applauded. It's a cool thing. It's a good thing. And again, it led me down a path of substance abuse that ate up quite a bit of my life. Mm-hmm. And grateful that I've gotten so far beyond that now, but it's definitely a gateway. And when you go into communities where we have grant funding, you can see signs on certain stores. I don't want to call names, but tobacco sales here. And they are often in communities that are not the most wealthiest communities.
I don't know how people can afford cigarettes, because I was behind someone at a store and they bought a couple packs. And it was like $12.
Yeah. Sometimes I've seen on the news here in San Antonio, when convenience stores are broken into, there are two primary things that are taken: tobacco and beer. Mm-hmm. So they're taking carts of cigarettes and stealing carts of beer, because again, there's a correlation there. There is a new, I want to call it an ad campaign from thetruth.org for the youth who watch MTV, or anybody that watches MTV. They have been really hitting hard advertisement about tobacco use and targeting youth and young military persons and targeting people who are in mental health wards, psychiatric clinics, as though nicotine is a calming sedative that they can take. So I'm excited that San Antonio will be the first city in Texas where this will definitely be the truth, that this ordinance will happen. You know, it's not going to be easy, but certainly the youth, if we care about their health, if we care about their educational and economic abilities. We certainly have to stand up on behalf of them and put this out and say, no, we're going to increase it to 21.
And let me ask you, Keely, what made you quit? When did you quit? How did you quit?
I quit because I realized it was unhealthy. I just kind of had an aha moment, and I realized it was unhealthy. And out of all the substances that I was using, I have to tell you, nicotine was the last one. It was the hardest and the last substance that I was able to break. And it took some time. I started a pattern. Okay, I'm not going to smoke before I go to bed. I'm not going to smoke when I wake up. I just started cutting out the pattern because they didn't have patches back in that day. And I weaned myself slowly but surely. I quit buying them, but the problem was I was around people who smoked.
So you were mooching them off of them.
And I mooched, and eventually I said, you guys can't be around me because you're not helping me get to a place of healing. And that was how I processed my way out of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think now we have help that wasn't available back then, but I got over it, and I made a covenant with myself that if I ever got rid of this habit, I would never, ever do it again. And here we are, some 25 some odd years.
Good for you.
And I am still smoke-free. I don't like the smell of smoke. I don't like to be around people who smoke. I don't allow smoking in my house. I don't go where people smoke because I really want to live a healthy life for the rest of my life.
Good for you. Good for you. Now, so Jerry from the American Heart Association, did you ever smoke?
I never smoked. And, you know, I think that when I was growing up, there was a big focus on anti-smoking campaigns. Mm. And really from a very young age, I remember always being told, don't smoke. And, you know, we're going to get the stickers of, you know, Red Ribbon Week and, you know, don't, you know, don't like a little frog that said, don't kiss a smoker or something like that. But you know, I just think it has been ingrained since I was a kid, never to smoke. Both my parents didn't smoke. I think at that point, none of my family smoked. And so it was just never around me and just something that I never started.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But now you know people who do, right?
Yes. And currently, you know, I have family members who smoke. And going back to that struggle, you know, they've tried to quit multiple times, and especially, you know, with my grandkids and trying to keep it away from the rest of the family. We know it's not just smoking. There's the dangers of secondhand smoke,
mm-hmm,
and the impact that that has on everyone else who's breathing in that secondhand smoke. And so, you know, it's a real struggle. And, you know, we talk to people that struggle with it every day. And so if we can do something to prevent people from ever becoming addicted, and we know that nicotine is a very powerful addictive substance. It's included in e-cigarettes, which is the new way that young people are thinking that, you know, e-cigarettes are being marketed as a healthy alternative, that they're just breathing in water vapor. But what we know is a lot of those chemicals include nicotine. There's a lot of other chemicals that are tied to other diseases and illnesses that, you know, that's the new gateway of attract these youth with a bubble gum and watermelon and gummy bear flavored
kid flavors
e-cigarettes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you look at where the marketing is done recently, the tobacco settlement, I'm not sure if you've seen all the commercials, but though they finally have come out from the 90s where the tobacco companies themselves are having to run commercials talking about how they purposefully targeted, including high levels of nicotine to addict folks, and they were highly addictive. And, you know, through all of that, they're not able to market on TV anymore. They're no longer able to be in magazines. I used to see the Joe Camel and Marble Man when I was flipping through magazines as a kid, that they're no longer able to do that. But what they're still able to do is through the convenience stores market. I've seen some pictures where there's the ice cream stand, and then right above it is the cigarette ad, or the sodas and the chips, and then right next to that is a marketing for tobacco products.
So they're still sly about it.
They're sly about it. They're still, you know, I think, you know, recognizing that the future and with e-cigarettes, and even it's such a new product that there's just not the 50 years of research and education that we have with traditional cigarettes, that I think a lot of folks are still think that it's a healthy alternative, and it's a way to, you know, they claim that, you know, this is something that can help people quit smoking. But what we're actually finding, and this is what's getting younger folks to start becoming addicted to nicotine. And that's why it's important to for this initiative and why we support it.
Our guest this morning, Jerry Saavedra, he's from the American Heart Association. He's a senior community policy manager, and Dr. Keely Petty from the Bethel Prevention Coalition. And we're talking about the Tobacco 21 city ordinance, the proposed city ordinance. City Council votes on this on January 11th. That's the scheduled vote date, January 11th.
At this point.
So what do you want people to do, or what have you been doing to get the council to pass this? Do you think it will be approved, or are some people on council resistant because there is that business aspect of it?
Yeah, I think that overall, you know, San Antonio is lucky to have leaders that are very forward-looking. They're very health conscious as well. You know, the mayor is a former bodybuilder, very health conscious, really, you know, talks a lot about what can we do to improve the health of the community. I think the good thing is that I really have felt that there's been a shift in our culture as well, that health is now good business, especially with the millennial generation, a lot of other folks that we want to be healthy. We're trying to figure out how can we be healthier, live healthier lives. And as a city, to be able to have policies that promote health, that's attractive to business. If there's a healthy workforce, businesses want to come to your city. And so I don't think that those things have to be mutually exclusive. I think it's a win-win for everybody. If there's a healthier workforce, you know, talk about productivity, and you know, when a lot of businesses, they don't want to, you know, they want to hire non-smokers because they don't have to worry about the healthcare costs associated with that productivity if people going on smoke breaks and they're not on the job. And so I think if we can do something for San Antonio that helps combat, you know, what we're actually finding, especially in the youth, is that while decades we've seen the smoking rate go down, we're starting to see that actually tick back up.
In youth or just in the population in general? And is it about 20-something percent that smokes?
It's a lower than that, and I don't have the exact number in front of me, but I would say it's about around 15%.
15%.
And we are seeing that for the youth specifically, that is starting to go up. And a large reason for that is that e-cigarette use has gone up tenfold since 2011. And so, again, that's why it's important that you know, e-cigarettes are also included in the ordinance. And another thing that is very important, that these are being marketed to youth as a way to get them addicted to tobacco. So we want to definitely support, you know, anything that we can do to prevent that from happening. But the city council, the leadership there is overall, you know, I think looking at this in a very comprehensive way, trying to weigh as a policymaker, you want to weigh the health aspect for the community, but you also want to take in the concerns of any other things. And so they're being very deliberate about it, had a great work session where a lot of great questions were raised. And so I think at this point, they're just trying to work through the implementation, enforcement, how this was actually going to play out. From what we heard at the workshop, they are going to, you know, considering doing a 6-month educational period where it's not something that would be overnight. There would be a lot of work to make sure that the community is educated about this policy, that the convenience stores and other folks that would be impacted would be educated and talked about what this means. And so, you know, we haven't really seen any other folks that are too concerned about it. But I think that at the end of the day, we still need to make sure that this is something that the community shares their support with. Mm-hmm. We know that there's overwhelming community support. You know, we did our own poll. The American Cancer Society did a poll that showed 78% of San Antonians supported it. But a lot of times it's really the vocal minority that comes out and goes to the meetings and says, you know, this is something that's going to kill my business. And so we want to make sure that supporters also come out.
That's 78% of folks. So what should they do? Contact their council person, the mayor's office?
Yeah, that would be the route that they would need to take and have conversation about their concerns. I want to say when we look at resolving this situation, coalitions such as Bethel Prevention Coalition, SACADA, UTSA, UT Health, we are key in providing prevention and awareness. There is a national campaign that happens every March called National Kick Butts Day, B-U-T-T-S. This initiative is an activism that empowers youth to stand out, speak up, seize control against big tobacco companies. What this day is about is raising awareness of the problem of tobacco use in their communities, encourage youth to reject the tobacco industry and the deceptive marketing practices, which are so huge, and then urge elected officials to take action to protect kids from tobacco, which is what this Tobacco 21 initiative is about. So when we look to that 6 month period of time to inform our community, I believe it'll be coalitions and everybody who's involved in this tobacco initiative getting with our council persons and saying, let's have a conversation, a courageous conversation about what tobacco is doing to our community, what tobacco is doing to our youth and the health implications of that. How about the environmental issues of tobacco? You go in depressed and disenfranchised communities, what do you see? Liquor bottles and cigarette butts all over the place, which makes it ugly and nasty, and who really wants to be around that? So we are for this initiative. I will be giving voice. I will be giving what I call a personal impact story, as I did with the social hosting ordinance, in hopes to touch the hearer's heart. We can get up and give all the statistics and all of that, which is necessary to prove and back up why we need this to take place. But I believe when you can touch the heart of the people, sometimes in a way, that is the final thing that will seal the deal, because it's really about making San Antonio healthier. It's about making the next generation healthier. And it's about keeping our city environmentally safe, mm-hmm. and getting rid of this tobacco use. Kids have died from the ingesting of the e-cigarettes because there's a misnomer that those are safer than tobacco products. And it's just not the truth. It mm-hmm. is just not the truth.
And I know from Keeley's previous visit that y'all supported CVS when CVS pulled tobacco products.
Yes.
And you know what? CVS survived, didn't
they? They survived, and they are still, they are about to purchase Aetna because they are taking a whole different posture in regards to health. And yes, we were able to have our National Kick Butts Day last year at the CVS there on Walsham Road. We invited the Y Achievers from the YMCA. Our council person came out and actually gave a proclamation. So it was really huge. That had never happened at that community. So again, when Bethel Prevention Coalition is going into schools and at town halls, we are talking about substance abuse, particularly tobacco, because again, it is a gateway to other substances.
So if this Tobacco 21 ordinance is approved, which I take it is what you all are expecting, what happens? I know, Jerry, you said there's a 6 month period where it's an educational period before it takes full effect. Is that correct?
Yeah, and I wouldn't say we're expecting it. I think especially with something like this, we need to make sure that we're staying focused and diligent with the communicating. This is something that the community wants. And so as a Tobacco 21 coalition, we definitely are continuing to make sure that we're talking with our council members in the community and want to make sure that we're not taking it for granted or thinking that this is anything that's done. It certainly isn't, and right. We need to make sure that we're continuing to showcase that strong community support that we know is out there. But you know, going back to your question of what would be the next steps, you know, assuming that a positive outcome was had on the 11th, there would be our understanding is there would be a 6 month educational period mm-hmm. where the city would work with the folks that were convenience stores and others to educate them, you know, work with signage, talk through what the ordinance means, and basically be a grace period. So there wouldn't be any tickets or anything like that. It'd be just warnings and making mm-hmm. sure people understand that this is going to become in effect coming in the summer, and this is what you need to do to comply with the new law.
I was at a store the other day, and a lady was buying cigarettes in front of me, and they were like $5 a pack, which, again, that just astounds me that it's so much, because you know, some people smoke 2, 3, 4 packs a day. That is a lot. It's a lot of money.
Well, I think that's a testament to how addictive it is. if wow. that yeah. you know you have limited income and you're spending so much money on tobacco, mm-hmm. they must how much how addictive
how powerful
must that, how
you've got to have it over all else, mm-hmm. over all
over
else.
Food.
It's driving you. It's driving your common sense.
Yeah. And I think going back to the you know the community, you know, oftentimes like Dr. Kelly Petty mentioned, the communities that are suffering that you know have a lot of other issues and problems. They're the communities that a lot of times the marketing is focused on, and mm-hmm. you know, let's go target these communities that with the signs and the posters and making sure that we're getting these folks hooked on it. And so when there's you know there was some concerns about you know how this is going to disproportionately impact minorities or lower income, and I think that the flip side of that is that those are the exact communities that have been dealing with all the negative consequences right. of tobacco for so many years now, that this is something that's going to benefit those communities.
Yes.
And if we can help prevent those folks from ever starting to smoke, starting with the youth and the kids, then that's going to do nothing but benefit the community. And this mm-hmm. is something that should be supportive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the lady in front of me was buying cigarettes and mm-hmm. she didn't have her ID. And the clerk said, I need your ID. And she goes, I'm 35 years old. I don't have my ID. And she goes, I cannot sell you cigarettes. And I think they have a policy of IDing everybody, even way over the age that you're allowed to legally buy something.
Yeah, I believe it's 27 where you know, you're not just saying, okay, at 18, you know, we'll guess if you're 18 or not. The standard is, you know, you card anyone that you think is under the age of 27. So in general, that is really is the point of sale and on the seller, the place where that's going to make the impact of them mm-hmm. making the decision not to sell, mm-hmm. not so much young people who I think, like we mentioned before, they're going to, the seniors or 18, 20 year olds are going to figure out a way to get that. It's really the focus of the enforcement for this would really be on the retailers and making sure right. that they're not selling it. Mm-hmm. And that really is the most effective way of actually mm-hmm. having a difference for the health of the community. Mm-hmm.
And you know, Texas Alcohol Beverage Commission, they go out and they do stings. Mm-hmm. They'll have young people to actually go into stores to see if they can purchase alcohol. So it'll probably be the same type of activity going on with tobacco.
Yeah, let me have some cigarettes with that
right.
beer that
let's,
you're going to sell
go
me because I'm
exactly.
underage. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So let's see if you're going to break the rule and break the law because the dollar has power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think but what we have seen is that there really is not a problem with retailers selling it to underage folks. That's not an issue. And so I think that's exactly why this issue, this policy would be effective, is because we know that if the city decides to take this move, the retailers are going to listen and they're going to do what they need to do as responsible partners in the community and not sell it to the teens. The problem really is those 18 and 19 year olds who can legally
go
purchase
in.
It and then they go give it to the younger folks. And so it, again, it's not going to be something that I think convenience stores or anybody else is going to have any trouble with. I think if anything, you know, now the smoking age would be the same as the age to buy alcohol. And so mm-hmm. it would make it easier to have one date to remember to be able to card folks and be as simple as that. We're talking about raising the age from, you know, 18 to 21 and keeping it consistent with alcohol. And when you're talking about tobacco that has way more impacts as far as how many deaths and destruction it causes, I think it's a reasonable policy.
Yeah, because at the beginning, Jerry, you said tobacco causes more deaths than?
Than all the deaths in World War II combined. And then also more than AIDS, cocaine, heroin, alcohol, vehicle accidents, homicide, and suicide combined. So this really is a big public health problem.
Absolutely. We're out of time. I want to thank you both for stopping by this morning. Dr. Kelly Petty, she's from the Bethel Prevention Coalition, and Jerry Saavedra from the American Heart Association. He's the Senior Community Policy Manager. So I know you want people to contact their city council representative and voice their support for Tobacco 21.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, with our democracy, it's important for those who care about the community to speak up and give a voice to where they stand. And so we definitely encourage everyone to call your city council member and let them know that this is something you support. And we have a website as well. If you want some more information, it's www.texas21.org/San Antonio.
Texas21.org/San Antonio.
And if you're interested in working with a coalition hands-on, Bethel Prevention Coalition, you can call our office at 210-651-3331, and we will be glad to get you pamphlet information. We will be glad to come out and do presentations, awareness activities, so that we can ensure that San Antonio become a safe, healthy, drug-free community.
Thank you both.